therefore, when he knew that they would come to take him by force and make him king, fled again into the mountain himself alone. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, Laetare Sunday, rejoice. That complex epistle takes some study, and if you have the IPATER app, which I highly recommend, under the V for volumes, scroll down to Biblical Commentaries, Lapide. Cornelius a Lapide. You go to the book of Galatians, look up chapter 4, read the whole background to that section that was read today. We are children of the free woman, and those who are of the slave woman will persecute until the end of time. So expect persecution, but rejoice in the freedom wherewith Christ has set us free. And of course, the gospel you had, the reference to coming close to the Paschal time, the great feast of the Jews, when they were delivered from their slavery in Egypt. We're reading now the book of Exodus in the breviary. But this event took place a year before the ultimate Passover, which was transformed into the Holy Eucharist and the Holy Week sacrifice and resurrection of our Lord. So now we're coming closer to that, Passiontide and then Eastertide. Keep up then your prayers and penance. Just a few announcements. There is a new bulletin there with the details of today's sermon, which is about anger, the capital vice of anger. This extract is from the great venerable Louis of Granada, again. I ask you to keep in your prayers those who are sick in the parish, especially Julia Birchler is in hospital. She needs prayers. Bob Rito is still struggling. And anyone else who is sick or struggling, pray for them. Pray for the deceased of this parish. I want to add a name to that from our Long Island parish, a woman in her late 90s. From the island of Dominica in the Caribbean, named Florentine Magliore. She went recently to her eternal reward, and I visited that island because she was very generous. She wanted to give us beachfront property where they filmed the movie, The Pirates of the Caribbean. And so she was a wealthy and generous, devout Catholic woman. Florentine Magliore, may her soul and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. So God willing, I'll be back on Friday this week. It's the first Friday of the month of April. Mass is 6 p.m., followed by a Holy Rosary with benediction. And again, this Saturday, 2nd of April, is the first Saturday of the month. Mass at 9, Holy Hour of Reparation. We didn't have that yesterday because the Mariahs celebrated their baptism of their 15th child. Congratulations to them. And the Smith family also had a series of baptisms and a wedding on Friday. It was beautiful. Thank God. We have great hope that the faith will continue into the next generation through these baptisms. Next Sunday between the Masses at around 8:45, there'll be catechism and apologetics classes. I may give some more details about what happened Friday with the consecration, the Fatima consecration, some feedback on that. One short video explanation is on the Catholic Family News by Brian McCall. He gave a good little talk on that. But we'll see what happens with that. Now, next Sunday, the blessing of articles will take place instead of the second Sunday of April, because that will be Palm Sunday, and that will be very busy. The 10 o'clock Mass will begin with a procession around the place and the long gospel of the Passion. So we won't have the blessing of items on the second, but the first Sunday next month. Also downstairs, there are Novena Mass cards for Easter. Downstairs also, three boxes down the front near the screen, there are DVDs from the late Louis Alessio, a lot of John Wayne and things like that, that we don't need to put in our parish lending library. So they're free to take. Also, someone kindly donated a bunch of free books for those who don't have a missal, especially, for the month of April. And it's well done. They're on the piano downstairs. So that's a generous donor. Lots of little prayer books there. So if you have the bulletin that's previous to this that says March, April, it does have a mistake in the Holy Thursday Mass. Is it not 6:30, but 7:30 on Holy Thursday? Confessions from 6:30. Now also today, being the last Sunday in the month, we used to have, before COVID, we used to have, in honor of St. Anthony's, some refreshments. So today we'll do that. After this Mass, bagels and coffee available. After the next Mass, people bringing some stuff to celebrate Laetare Sunday and to honor St. Anthony. Also, one last thing I want to mention is there are, in the bookstore we've done some serious additions to the bookstore, and there's a whole section called Lenten books. We're only halfway through Lent, so there's books on the Passion of our Lord, the liturgical year volume on Lent. It's really worth looking at. It would do a great deal of good if we added to our daily prayers a little bit of spiritual reading. Another thing that, in light of the consecration of Russia et al. To the Immaculate Heart of Mary, this book, The Still Hidden Secret, is very worth reviewing, how there's still something missing in the true obedience to the Queen of Heaven. She insisted that the third secret be released at the latest by 1960. And in that year, Pope John opened the third secret, read it, closed it, sealed it, and said, "This is not for our time." And so pressure, especially by the late Father Gruner of the Fatima Center, the Vatican did release part of the third secret in the year 2000. And it was a horrifying vision of death and destruction and the murder of the Pope, dead bodies all over a city, and no explanation. So clearly what they're holding back, and this book demonstrates, they're holding back the words of Our Lady that explain this devastation. So don't expect peace and security all of a sudden. What happened on Friday was good insofar as it went. There's a ways to go, more to be done, reparation. First five Saturdays, the release of the full third secret, which will begin the restoration of the Church's tradition. So our reparation, Holy Mass, Holy Rosary, keep hold of that. And if you can, if you're able to make the first five Saturdays, it will help enormously. We've been going through the seven capital sins. Capital from caput, or head. These sins are not always mortal, but they are the head of many other sins. Today it's anger. Anger is either no sin at all, venial, or a mortal sin. Depends. Because our Lord showed his anger in dealing with the Pharisees. He looked at them with anger, it says in St. Mark's Gospel. And in St. John and Matthew, it looks like two times, beginning and towards the end of our Lord's public life. With anger, he took a whip, overturned the tables of the money changers who were desecrating the temple of God, without obviously any sin. He channeled the passion that God gave us. Anger is the passion God gave us to fight off evil, to bring about justice. So the old biblical word for anger is wrath, or in the Protestant Bible, wrath. Wrath, the wrath of God. Now God isn't human, he doesn't have passions, so God doesn't have any anger in its form as a passion. But he does have this anger which is the exercise of justice. And it brings about corrections or chastisements. And as you see in today's, the collect of today, we beg our Lord, Almighty God, cleansed by this holy fast. Oh, that's not the one. Where is it? This is the fourth Sunday in Lent. The prayer is that we who are justly afflicted for our deeds or our misdeeds, may we be relieved by the consolation of thy grace. So in justice, God afflicts us. And I think we can still expect a massive chastisement from heaven unless there is a genuine conversion and reparation. And God has promised through his Holy Mother, Fatima, that he will use a nation well beloved by him, which is called Russia, to inflict his chastisements upon the world. Of course, we must pray for the Ukrainians. There are certainly some innocent souls there who are suffering enormously. No doubt about that. They need prayers. And we pray that these kinetic actions may come to an end and that there be true peace. But we know from the revelations of Fatima that Russia will be used as a scourge of God. As it happened, the Israelites were punished by the Egyptians, made slaves until God freed them, thanks to Holy Moses. So anger, it's a feeling of displeasure at real or supposed injuries with a desire to punish the offender. So it can be justified. Scripture actually says, be angry, but sin not. And so the first movements we get of the passion of anger are actually an invitation to reflection. Is this justified or not? If it's justified, I have to channel it in the right direction towards proper correction. Warning if you are parents or teachers. Never correct your children when you're feeling passion of anger. Go out, do something different, calm down, and then correct them like a police officer would correct a delinquent in pulling over a car, a traffic offense. The policeman is calm, cool, collected. Please show me your license. Did you know you were doing 70 in a 45 zone? Etc., etc. Okay, here's your punishment. Calm, cool, collected. On the other hand, if the police is chasing some criminal in the act of a very serious crime, the police will not be so polite and will channel their anger into protecting and correcting as needed. So, desire to punish the offender. As an emotion or a passion, it inclines us to revenge. Now, God is the ultimate avenger. We must seek justice, but not be careful about revenge or vindictiveness. Anger could be a feeling that leads us to drive off or drive away from our path whatever displeases us. There you go. That's a common form of sinful anger. Even though it's often venial, it can lead to very grave consequences. Anger is often then as a sin. It's directly opposed to the spirit of the gospel, which is one of meekness and of love and ready to forgive. Anger then is a daughter of pride, offended pride. Why should I have my way in everything? Who am I that everyone should honor me or do things the way I would do them? It's pride. We'll come to that on Palm Sunday. So anger shows itself in quarreling, when we have different views, different opinions, or different plans. The one inclined to anger begins to argue, quarrel, pointing out not the flaws in the other's opinions, but the faults in his character, his training, his education, or whatever. Personal attacks rather than the topic at hand. So it's not a sin to argue. Arguing is good. That's how we exercise our rational nature. But when we argue in passion, we're in danger. The cure is to discuss intelligently and calmly the merits or the demerits of various plans or opinions. So we have to be careful of being opinionated. St. Augustine has a little saying about that. In things that are certain or definite or defined dogmas, there should be unity. In certis unitas, in dubiis libertas, in doubtful things that are not defined, let there be freedom of opinion. Et in omnibus caritas, in all things let there be charity. In certis unitas, in dubiis libertas, in omnibus caritas. St. Augustine had this way of making these things so clear, especially when you read the Latin. Anger leads us to curse and swear. Even little things, we stub our toe, the traffic light turns against us. The car doesn't start at once, people curse and swear. It's the second commandment, provoked by anger. It leads to hatred, the desire to hurt someone in return for some real or imagined injury, directly opposed to Christ's command to love one's neighbor as thyself. Okay, it can start wars. If the leader of some country or some influential person or media outlet should provoke anger, wars can break out. It leads to bitterness of speech, and beware of the hatred that's being fostered by the media, the mainstream, and certain public figures. The hatred being fostered now against a people who are specially chosen by God. But be very careful. It leads to bitterness of speech, cutting remarks, sharp answers, sarcastic, slurring speech, rising from our angry heart. Make up your mind to say nothing while you are angry. You'll never regret that. Because we're going to get angry. The question is how we deal with it. First movement of anger is not a sin. How you deal with it determines whether it's virtuous or sinful. It leads to sulking or pouting. Sometimes even two-year-olds are famous for their tantrums, but they're not necessarily guilty because they haven't developed reason. So the reasonable person is the one who controls his passions. This is the key, and this is the key challenge in Lent, and in fact all of our lives. We have to keep working on controlling, channeling our passions. Some grown-ups even put on a morose black face when anything crosses their plans or their paths. They might say nothing with their lips, but they express their anger in many other ways. It can lead, of course, to fighting. How do we overcome these feelings of displeasure, the surges of anger? A few tips. Anticipate and forestall the occasions of anger. Usually know and reflect the situations that cause you to lose your temper. Prepare for those occasions. Some people, they know they're going to meet a certain person that's going to make them angry. Prepare beforehand how you're going to deal with it and pray. When you get in the car and you're going to face some angry, wild traffic, pray. Put on some peaceful music, Gregorian chant. That'll help calm you down. Keep quiet when angry. Even the pagan philosophers advised that before saying a word in anger, you recite the entire Greek alphabet. You could say at least, pray a paternoster, get out of the situation, get back to it when you are calm, cool, and collected. Be humble to realize your own weakness in this regard, but certainly study the meekness, the kindness of our Lord and Master, who said in Matthew 11:29, learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Meekness is not weakness, it is precision control of the passion of anger. And the meek, our Lord said, will inherit the earth. So examine yourself daily, and a good recommendation, give yourself a little penance if ever you exceed. Little penance for every offense against anger. You could have a little jar where you put a dollar in it every time you make a excessive anger, and then donate that to the church later on. So our Lord gave us this advice, the example, the examples of the saints, and in the litany of the Sacred Heart, we have this line based on that word of our Lord. A short, simple, fervent prayer. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. Say that prayer often, frequently, especially when tempted. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. When everything is unpleasant, circumstances that would lead you to anger, say this prayer. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine.